So this week we're into a second of 3 weeks of what we're kind of framing up as a vision series at the start of this year. We were talking called together to grow and go. And last week we were focusing particularly on called together, and we were talking about the body of Christ, the church in all of its fullness and everything that it's created to be. And if you weren't here and you missed out on that message, can I encourage you, go online, have a listen, catch up, be part of the conversation, and then carry those conversations out into the week as well. There's a little A5 flyer that went out with the newsletter. There's copies out on the information desk. There's some questions on there for engaging in life groups, for engaging around family meal tables, for engaging when you sit down with people from CB during the week. Carry on the conversations that start on Sunday. Let's be a community that learns to embody the conversations that we share together. This week we're carrying on, we're talking grow together and focusing in on another one of Paul's writings to a church in the New Testament, this time the church in Ephesus, looking at Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 11. So if you have your Bibles or your phone with you this morning, can you turn or scroll there with me, and we're going to read this passage together. And if you are willing and able, stand with me and we'll reverence the reading of God's word together. Paul writes, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." And Father, as we sit in these words of your servant Paul this morning, we ask that they would be elevated, that there'd be open hearts and open minds here in this space for your Spirit to work in us and through us. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Have a seat. Well, with apologies for the cliche dad talks about his kids to illustrate a point moment to start this one off, our little baby Daisy is just over 4 months old now. This is her, if you haven't met her. And as this is our last time around on this rodeo, I've been kind of wanting to absorb every single moment of it, because it's this crazy thing. I'm sure there's lots of people here who are going to relate to this. Like, you think you'll remember, but I'm finding even with Micah, who is 7 now, that you know, babies become toddlers, become children, and soon they'll be teenagers, and then they'll be adults, and you'll just be thinking they just popped out looking like that, you know? And there's parts of babies that aren't always super fun. Daisy hasn't been too well recently, but the good stuff, you know, like this photo, you just want to drink it in. And more than once, there's been this utterly ridiculous kind of selfish notion that's gone through my head where I just don't want her to grow up. I wish that she would just stay like this forever. Wouldn't that be cool? As she snuggles up into me, wouldn't it be amazing just to have a little person like this just with you for the rest of your life, never grow up? But that's not the goal of parenting, is it? The goal of parenting is to help that baby become a fully functioning adult. Your role as a parent is to share and model the love of God with them, to point them to Jesus, and then to release them out into the world, not to keep them where they are. The goal as a parent is to build some maturity. Hey, if she were to stay looking like this forever, then something probably wouldn't be going that well. And I guess it kind of struck me that it's the same imagery that Paul is using to speak to one of his babies, one of these churches that he's planted this week in Ephesus. Ephesus, you might remember, is an incredibly religious city. The story of Jesus was massively disruptive when it started off there. Acts 19, you might remember, Paul had spent over 2 years kind of living in the city daily, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. And then things get crazy. There's like full-blown riots break out in the city. There's exorcisms. There's books and scrolls being burnt. And then amongst the grand temples to the goddess Artemis and all the shrines for the Roman imperial cult of emperor worship, there amongst all of it, this church is planted. In other words, it's to an incredibly tricky context that Paul is writing right now, an incredibly tricky context to be a follower of Jesus, into an incredibly religious context, one where coming to faith is going to be a hurdle, but where the challenge lying before the church is then not just to believe in God, but to grow in that faith, to mature in that faith so that they can become together that countercultural body of Christ that we were speaking about last week. It's the challenge across time for every church, I think. It's the challenge for us again today as well. So what does growing together, what does maturing together look like? Well, taking some pointers from Paul here in Ephesians 4, verse 13, he talks about reaching a unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. It's about a community whose primary sense of who they are together is found in faith in the gospel, in the good news of Jesus. And it's easy, I think, for churches to put other things up there in that box sometimes, isn't it? You know, church can sometimes become the thing that sits at the center rather than Jesus. Church and the production of church, we kind of gather as a community around making things happen. Sometimes even things like community, which is a good thing, can become the thing that gets put at the center, and we kind of revolve around that community for community's sake. But Paul is saying that unity, if it's a mature body of believers, if it's a mature church, it's focused around one thing and one thing alone, and that is around Jesus. The church is that particular group of people whose passion and pursuit is Jesus. And because of that, it's a place where people can grow to become more like him, or as Paul puts it in verse 13, they attain to the full measure of the fullness of Christ. In other words, a mature church is a church where people are becoming more like Jesus. A mature church is a church where growth is happening, where people are being put in a position to grow, where they're becoming open to the Spirit of God at work within them, and then they are being released to serve God with everything that they are. They are becoming like Christ. And if those two things are happening, then there seems to be some other things here as well. There's an outward thing. Verse 14 says that we will no longer be a community so much that's blown around by the waves, by what's going on out there. We won't be so reactive, perhaps. We'll be more kind of grown up in our approach. That this is a community that would be perhaps a little bit more comfortable with not quite fitting in with the step of the world, that's comfortable to hold fast to what it believes, isn't apologetic about what it believes, and its reasons for it. So there's an outward thing, and then there's also like an inward thing, it appears here as well. Verse 15, increasingly the church is that which becomes a community who can carry truth and love in equal measure. It's a community with no dark corners in it. Everything is out in the light. It's a community where, just as we were talking about last week, a selfless, kind of other-focused, welcoming love is right at the heart of everything that they are. Speaking the truth in love, Paul writes, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. So a starter from Ephesians 4 for the church that is growing together is one understanding that they are called to be a particular community, a community which is focused around Jesus, whose pursuit of Jesus is central to everything that they are, is essential to everything that they are, who can hold fast to their faith amongst the currents of the world and not be wavered, and who grow closer together in love. This picture of a church on the path to maturity, it's a picture of the church on the move. Because the church isn't a static institution, is it? God himself is always at work. God is never standing still. I was reading these words actually this week in my devotional time. Theologian Hans Kung, he writes these words, a helpful reminder. If the church really sees itself as the people of God, it is obvious then that it can never be a static phenomena, he says, a phenomena which exists undisturbed by earthly space and historical time. The church is always and everywhere a living people gathered together from the peoples of this world, journeying through the midst of time, a church which pitches its tents without looking out constantly for new horizons, which does not continually strike camp, is being untrue to its calling. So the church, in other words, is a movement, literally. It is a movement, growing, maturing. It is an essential part of that movement. And so how does that happen? Well, Paul seems to answer that in a couple of ways here. He has two key designations of responsibility in this text. Firstly, in verse 11, he writes this, that Christ gave himself to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. There's this gift of Christ of certain individuals to the church community. And there have always been people in the life of the church who are set apart for special work in the life of the church. And Paul lists off five of those here. And I don't think this is meant necessarily to be an exhaustive list of kind of those who are exclusively tasked with leadership in the church. Because elsewhere in the New Testament, we hear about elders and overseers and then also deacons as well. And I guess I've seen materials out there that kind of like you can do a little sort of personality test and find out where you fit in the fivefold ministry of Ephesians 4. But I don't think that that's the point. This isn't so much prescriptive as it is being descriptive. Paul is speaking about the roles of leadership that were familiar to the Ephesian church and providing leadership under Christ to the Christian community. And so although a healthy church, yes, will probably have elements of all of these finding their expression in its midst, the titles are perhaps less important than the function, which is what follows on in verse 12. It says that Jesus appoints them to equip his people for works of service or for ministry so that the body of Christ may be built up. I wonder, did you catch what Paul is saying there? It's really subtle, but it's important. What Paul isn't saying here is that the church is built simply when people are equipped by the church's leaders. Rather, he's saying that the church is built when people are equipped and are exercising their gifts, and when that happens, the body of Christ is being built up. Do you see the difference? One is an image which places responsibility for a congregation's maturity firmly at the feet of the leadership. And that is true to a certain extent. There is responsibility for the leadership in that space. But the other is an image of those who have been set apart for leadership, investing themselves into the life of the community so that the community will work for its growth together alongside them. This vision, as Paul says in verse 16 of the church, flowing out from Jesus, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, growing and building itself up in love as each part does its work. We are called together as the church to grow together as the church. Now, as a Baptist church specifically, this should come as no surprise to us, I think. Because at their best, you know, some of the structures of the Baptist church, they lend themselves to this. You know, Baptist churches like ours, we hold strongly to something called the priesthood of all believers. It's this idea that God's leading is something that we discern, that we hear, that we figure out when we are together in community, that we do it together, that it's in our togetherness that we hear from God in a space where no voice is elevated above another. You know, our structures of leadership in theory are at least meant to add to this as well. Elders are elected from the community, by the community, to serve the community. And pastors are called by the community to serve the calling of the community, to serve alongside the community in that. Not a comment so much on the process of what's going on in our church particularly at the moment, but you know, in the most idealistic sense, I think, in a Baptist setting, when a pastor is called to a Baptist church, it's not to come and single-handedly, like Moses from the mountain, deliver the vision to the congregation. But rather, it is to come and join with the community in its collective sense of who God is calling them to be together, because there is a story that started before that person got there and will continue after they finish. The work of the pastor is to join in with the community and to be a champion of those things that God is doing in their midst. And this, you know, it feels a little bit foreign, I guess, for us in a CEO kind of corporate type world, but this is what the body of Christ looks like in action. This is that stuff that we were talking about last week kind of playing out. And so when we're talking called together to grow, we're saying that at CB, we don't believe that we are tasked with being a static institution. We're not called to stand still. That there's an ongoing process of maturity which needs to take place among us. That together we are called to be this particular community whose focus is Jesus, whose pursuit of him is central and essential to everything that we are, who hold fast to their faith amongst the currents of the world and who grow closer together in love. And that all of these things we see as being our responsibility together. And so I guess I'm wondering this morning, do you have a vision for this body of Christ being built up? Do you have an appetite for growth this morning? Because, you know, I think whether we've been there for a while already or whether we're just kind of getting to it now, we're at a little bit of a crossroads time. It's kind of like that out there right now, isn't it? It's like the church at Ephesus. I'm surrounded by enormous cultural and religious pressure in its situation, in its context. So too are the prevailing religions, the narratives of our time, the things that shape our lives and shape the lives of everyone out there and what we live by. So too are those things crushing in around the church right now in 2020 in New Zealand. It's not easy to be a wholehearted follower of Jesus in New Zealand in 2020. You know, it also feels like we're at a bit of a crossroads in here too. We can't call our church Crossroads. It's already taken. No. There's a sense now where we might be needing to step into something new again. No. A time where we could keep doing what we've always done and keep getting what we've always got, or we could start taking seriously the idea that as a community, together we might be needing to grow. To grow perhaps in our expectancy that this will be a place where people will encounter Jesus, fall in love with him, and go on to be radical world changers in his name. To grow in our expectancy that God is wanting to do big things in and through us for the good of our city. To grow in our understanding of what our togetherness can look like in this space, because for the church, and you need to hear it again this morning, growth is the default position. Movement, maturing, growth, it is the default position for the people of God. I talked about a couple of designations there for church leadership, for responsibility for that growth. The leaders and the body. I'm not sure how you see it if you've been around here for a while, but you know, it feels like pluses and minuses in these areas. You know, as a leadership, I think we've done a pretty good job of trying to keep the main thing the main thing. You know, we've been permission giving in giving space for new initiatives as God has led in our community. We've profiled new ministries and we've asked and wrapped more resources and people around them. We've been increasingly working with an eye to the world out there and trying to equip and position our community to engage with it. But at the same time, as a leadership, perhaps we've lacked attention to some of the bigger picture stuff. In fact, this whole vision thing has been part of wanting to put a little bit more energy into that space to have a sense of kind of where we're going together as a church. We might not have been as deliberate as we could have been in strategically equipping our community. On the part of the body, there's been some awesome things happening in our church. I was running off a mental list. This is by no means exhaustive, mainly music, best years. Nga Kaitiaki o Te Taiao, our CEC, chaplaincy involvement, our family and youth ministries, rest home ministry, Agapanthus Trust, through to the stories of people in our community just kind of taking stuff on. Baptisms. We've got another baptism in this service next week. Praise God. Last week, after the first service, I heard about a spontaneous life group that was formed after the service. And then after the second service, two ministries being discussed to meet the needs of two different groups of people in the life of this church. There are good things going on. But on the flip side, often, when we're on the lookout for volunteers, it's the usual suspects who are putting their hands up. We don't necessarily always get the sense that all of us are in this together. And sometimes it can feel like there's almost an expectation that everything rests on the church leadership to make things happen. And so there's some areas here, I think, that we need to grow in. And I guess if we were positioning ourselves as a community in this way for growth, then there'd be some things that we'd be seeing. It's super encouraging, Tony standing up here this morning talking about community prayer. My understanding is that there was maybe like 50 people there last month, which is huge. That's awesome. Seeking God together as a community, that is right at the heart of this entire conversation. I mean, this is stuck record kind of stuff from up the front this morning, but if we're wanting to mature, then our dependence on and our seeking of God together is central to that happening. I hope our church takes up the challenge again this Wednesday. I hope that that will be the case, that 50 will become 100 and the 100 will become the new norm one day. That will be who we are as a community. Some other things as well. I mean, might be some practical kind of discipleship stuff sort of happening if we were positioning ourselves for maturity and growth. Perhaps an intro to Christianity course with a team behind it that was running on schedule a couple of times every year with a next steps course for people who are interested in going further following on after that. I wonder, we did some stabs at that last year. There's some people who are keen for that conversation. Is there a team that could wrap around something like that? Are there those here this morning who would be willing to be a part of something like that? Are we putting ourselves in a space of expectancy that people would come to know Jesus in our church? Are we doing it? Because we're a big community. We'd love our life groups perhaps a little more than we do. We would see them as central and essential to our growth. We'd have a long list of open life groups that were ready to receive and welcome newcomers to our community. These groups where the conversations that we start on Sundays can be carried on and made personal during the week, where scripture can be lived out and the wheels can get put on it. I mean, if you are interested in hosting or leading a life group, please find Kate. She's over here this time. There's her hand. She'd love to have a chat with you about that. Because we're a community who are facing outwards, we'd be looking to equip ourselves a little better for the conversations of our world, because Sundays, unfortunately, in 20 minutes, it can't meet all the needs that we have. And so I wonder, where are our apologists? Where are our workplace theologians? Where are our thinkers and teachers. You know, it was really encouraging actually to have a conversation with someone a couple of weeks back who's thinking of putting some energy in behind a issues kind of facing Christians today type conversation space. I wonder where might others be in that space to wrap around and help these kind of conversations happen, to build and equip our community for cultural engagement. You know, because we love our city, perhaps we'd have a group of people who would be wanting to meaningfully engage our church community with the rhythms of the community out there, who are wanting to help us bring the Jesus flavor into Palmerston North. I wonder this morning, where are our I just love to show up hands and feet of Jesus type people? Where are those people who could get together and form a group that could invite us as a community into the things that are going on in the world around us? I'd love to talk to you. Because we want to grow closer as a community, because we recognize that that's an essential part of maturing. We might have a team focused on working to build our togetherness here as well. Cross-community events, not just kind of one-offs, but strategic. I mean, even push the boat out, what about a church camp? You know, regular inputs in this space. And that's just in addition to all of the more normal stuff that you kind of hear us talking about from time to time up here. You know, our music teams, always looking for people to be involved in them. Our welcome teams, always looking for more people to help making this a welcoming place on Sunday morning. Wouldn't it be fantastic if Julie was overrun with passionate and enthusiastic volunteers to help make our children's ministry a flourishing place where our kids grow? And if none of that sounds anything like you this morning, well, then that's okay. Because that just means that we've reached the limits of my imagination, you know, over the last few days in putting this together. And when we reach the limits of my imagination, it's time to hear from your imagination. So I'd invite again that conversation. Let's talk about this together as a church. You know, the most important thing this morning, over the top of all of this, is that fueled by the Spirit, together, I believe that we need to catch a vision for more than we might have settled for in the past. We need to catch a vision for growth. We need to step into maturity, and maturity looks like putting the needs of this body before our own personal wants. We need to open ourselves prayerfully again this morning to the idea that God, who is never static, God who is never standing still, he might be wanting to do something new and different, that he might be wanting to lead us into that together. You know, the challenge before us this morning is that we need to release this church from our own hands and hand it back once again to him. Because it is his church, isn't it? It is his church. For us to pray those prayers and really mean it, that his will and not ours would be done in this space. Because we are the body of one person and one person only. We are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. We are called together to grow. And so my prayer this morning is that we would do that together. Amen.